What if you could wake up tomorrow and discover that you had all the power of God? The winds and the waves obeyed your very command. You could speak to the deaf person and they could hear. You could speak to the blind person and they could see. You could even raise the dead. If you suddenly realized that you had all that power, would you still feel the need to pray? And yet Jesus had all of that power and he still prayed. So if you think about it, if it's good enough for Jesus, who was himself God, it's certainly good enough for us. It's not just good enough for us, it's valuable for us. It's important for us. It's necessary for us. Can I get an amen? Have you seen prayer in your life work? And sometimes we've had those moments in life when we prayed and it didn't seem like it worked for whatever the reason. And we haven't on this series talked about what keeps prayers from working. We'll do that another time because there are some things that will keep prayers from working that will hinder your prayers. But this time, these four sermons in this series have had to do with prayers that work. And so we are going to look at one of those prayers today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts, the 13th chapter, and we'll jump in there and talk about that. I like the story of the 5-year-old little boy that was sitting down with his family for dinner one night, and he prayed, "Dear God, thank you for these pancakes. In Jesus' name, amen." His mother looked at him kind of strangely and said, "Son, why did you pray for pancakes? We're having chicken." The little boy said, "I was just testing to see if God was listening." So, how many of you have ever wondered if God was actually listening to you in the middle of your prayers? Sometimes you think that way. You think, did God really hear that? Is he tuned his ear to hear me? I want to just tell you right off the bat, God hears every word that you pray. Matter of fact, God hears every word that you say also. Now, that we don't necessarily love that part, but sometimes do we? Because we will say some things and then we kind of regret it. We'll look around and we'll see if anybody's there that knows us. But God knows everything. God hears us. He hears us when we pray. From Moses to David to Jehoshaphat to Daniel, we're exposed to powerful prayers, earth-shaking prayers, prayers that show us that God does pay attention to us. And here in Acts, the 13th chapter, we're going to look at just a few verses that talk about that. We're going to look at this place called Antioch. So here's the first three verses of Acts 13. This is from the New Living Translation. "Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them.' So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way." And so, look at this. Think about this. We have several leaders that are fasting and praying and worshiping God. I like that they weren't just praying. They weren't just fasting. They weren't just worshiping. They were doing it all at the same time. They had somehow gotten God's attention, but it doesn't tell us what they prayed. It doesn't tell us why they were fasting. All we know is that the Holy Spirit told them to set aside Barnabas and Paul to set out on an adventure that would change literally the face of the earth. I'm reminded of when I was thinking about this morning as we were praying upstairs, I'm reminded of a time back in the 60s. Actually, I think it even happened maybe in the late 50s when a minister was in a little church not much bigger than this one, and he began to have a burden for the youth of New York City. His name was David Wilkerson, and he was in a prayer meeting one night with his church, a small congregation, and he said, "I believe I need to go and meet some of these people in New York." And so that little church got together, prayed over him, and sent him out to New York City. The rest of the story is that out of that became one of the great ministries that God has used over the last 50 years called Teen Challenge. And hundreds and thousands of believers and young men and women who have gone through that have been, who once were addicted to drugs and alcohol and all manner of other issues, have gone through that and received something that other ministries fail to give them. But God started with just a small group of people sending forth this minister, and God knew what he was doing when he did that. God knew what he was doing this day when he sent Paul and Barnabas out as well. Now, we don't know what they prayed. We don't know what they said, but we know that they were busy and they got God's attention. The only thing we're told about their prayer was that they fasted when they prayed. Now, when people usually fasted, they usually fasted for one of the main reasons, one of these reasons. People fasted when they were grieving over the death of a loved one. You see that some in the Old Testament. People fasted when they were repenting of their sins and the sins of their nation. We saw that some of that was taking place in the Old Testament. People fasted when they sought after protection from forces that they couldn't contend with. We saw that there were some times in the Old Testament where the king called a fast because an army was coming to fight these people and kill them. And how many of you know when you got an army coming to you that wants to kill you and wipe out your entire family, the last thing on your mind is food? I don't think that was a big stretch for most of them. But the most often time that people were fasting is when people were looking for insight. They wanted to hear the voice of God. They wanted to find out what God was wanting to do. Because you see, here Antioch is a fairly new congregation. It had experienced tremendous growth in a short amount of time. And when the leaders of the Jerusalem church found out about it, they sent Paul and Barnabas there to teach that congregation and those new converts about God, about Jesus. For a whole year, Paul and Barnabas taught a great number of people, and they were so successful that Scripture tells us that was the first place that the word Christian was used, was in Antioch. That's when it started. That's when they started calling Christ followers Christians, right there in Antioch. So Antioch's a growing church with the powerful teachers and all kinds of potential. So what could these folks literally be fasting about? Why would they need the direction of God since they had great growth? Seemed like God had already anointed them, blessed them, given them what they needed. He'd sent Paul and Barnabas there to help them. Well, I want you to know that anytime I personally have a big decision to make in my life, the bigger the decision, the more apt I am to go to the Lord and spend time praying. And if it's a big enough decision, I'll spend some time fasting too. I want God to know that I'm serious about hearing His voice. Because know this, fasting doesn't make God speak to you more, but it allows you to listen better. It's not like God is saying, well, if they just give up food, I'd talk. That's not how it works. That's not the reason that people fast. That's not the reason we fast, and that's not the reason that they were fasting them. Anytime you have a big decision, you know, I've fasted a meal, I've fasted a day, I've fasted weeks, I've fasted close to a month. I've done this and because I'm so desperate waiting for God to speak to me. It doesn't mean that God will speak to you more, but it does mean that you will listen better. I believe that the leaders at Antioch felt uncomfortable about something. Granted, they were a dynamic church. They had these marvelous leaders there at the church. But I think they were beginning to suspect there was something more for their church, something bigger than they could accomplish, and they felt like they needed God's direction. You see, that's kind of how I feel here at Brownstone. When we launched a couple of years ago, I had hopes of what we would become, and God has so far surpassed what we hoped in those early days. But at the same time, God has so much more for this congregation. We are just on the early stages of getting established. We are an established congregation now. Some of you who were here a couple of weeks ago saw that we became a sovereign congregation, and that's a wonderful thing, but it's on us. God, if we ever needed God more than now, I don't know when it was. I believe God is up to something, but He wants us to come to Him and find out. We can come up with our own ideas and say, well, you know, I think this, and I think this, and I think that. We can put our heads together and come up with a game plan, but how many of you know it's wonderful when God spells it out for you. When God points you in the right direction, and because we have a board of directors and we have a group of godly men that help me lead this congregation, I'm convinced that God will speak through them. I'm convinced God will speak through you. God speaks through all of us. God speaks to all of us. The more we pray, the more we can hear what God has to say. So we're going to talk a little bit about this concept of fasting today. There's been a lot of misconceptions about it. I'm not going to harbor it. And I'm going to set some of your minds at ease today because I don't want you to feel like you're going to be hungry the rest of your life. On a Sunday morning is the worst time I know of to speak about fasting because everybody's starting to think, you know, just a few more minutes we get to go eat. And so I know how that is. I certainly do. Just like the leaders at Antioch, I'm beginning to think there might be something bigger for us. I mean, I believe that part of the reason that we're told that Antioch's leaders prayed is because they had no idea what God had in mind. They were on some uncharted territory. This was a whole new area for them. And they said, Lord, we are so determined to find out what you want to do. We're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to worship you, we're going to spend time in your presence. Anything that we can do to get into your presence, anything that we can do to get close enough to hear your voice, we're willing to do. That's a level of desperation that we all need. I've seen that in churches. I've seen that work in my own life. I've seen that at times when God's people came together and they began to get so desperate that they cried out and they said, Lord, we just cannot do this without you. And they began to humble themselves and they began to speak that God, ask God to do the impossible, to do the supernatural. And you know what? God does it. He does it in a big way. He responded in a big way that way. Do you realize that when they allowed God's Spirit to lead them and they set apart Paul and Barnabas, the world was literally turned upside down. Antioch became the jumping off point for worldwide revival. Nearly a dozen new congregations were established through Asia because of that. Paul began a ministry of writing letters, and now we have over half of our New Testament from those letters, and I believe it all can point back to the group in Antioch who prayed and sent him forth. At Antioch was established as one of the central hubs of Christianity in the ancient world, and because these men humbled themselves all because they wanted to find out the will of God. Like I said, I believe God has more in mind for us than we know if we don't pray. When I was a teenager, I remember sitting down to dinner one night with our family, and my sister's first job was McDonald's. And my dad called on my sister to pray the blessing, and my sister had been working that day, and so she bowed her head, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Hello, may I take your order, please?" Apparently, she had been doing that a lot that day, and it had just kind of locked in there. You just kind of lock in, you know, it's what comes out of your mouth. And we laughed just like you guys did, and we made fun of her, and probably still would if I had the chance, because she's my sister. And that's what brothers do, especially the middle child. Anyway, what I found out is that is probably one of the most theologically correct prayers you could possibly pray. I think that, "Hello, may I take your order, please," is probably a better prayer than, "Hello, God, here's a list of everything I need today. Please hurry." And yet, isn't that how it is? Isn't that how we pray? We come to God and we say, "Dear Lord," and we lay it out. I mean, we like, and it rolls, and then we got a list of stuff. I mean, it's like, "Dear Lord, if you'd just start at the top and work your way through, that'd be so good, and we really appreciate if you'd fix all this." But how many of you know that prayer is a two-way street? It's a conversation and it's listening. And when we pray to God, we don't just want him to answer us. We want him to speak to us. And if you simply come down and pray and then get up, could it be that God's in the verge of saying something and you're like, "Well, no more time for you, Lord. I got my cell phone. I'm busy here. I got social media to check on." I mean, after all, there's some stuff happening in the world. That is what happens to all of us. We get so caught up that we forget that prayer is not just one-sided. It's not just giving God a litany of all of our needs, all the things that we've been pained in the last day or week or month or year. It's letting God speak to us, because how many of you would agree with this, that God could actually give you the wisdom to take care of some of those situations in your life? God knows what you need even before you speak it, but He still wants you to come to Him with it. At the same time, He might be speaking to you to help you get beyond some of those needs. He might be able to give you the understanding that you need in a business situation. He may be able to give you an understanding that you need in a relationship situation. He may be able to give you some understanding in your finances. He may be able to give you some understanding in things that you hadn't even thought about yet, because you don't know what you don't know. Isn't that right? Isn't that what they say? There's a lot of questions out there, and yet we have a God who created the entire universe, and He certainly knows what you need to know, and He can give it to you, but you've got to listen. So I think we should pray like Antioch, not just telling Him what we want. I think we should ask Him to guide us, to use us, to lead us, to help us be more than we can even imagine. Ephesians 3:20 simply says that God tells us that He's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Carl Bates once wrote, "There came a time in my life when I earnestly prayed, 'God, I want your power.' Time wore on and the power did not come. One day the burden was more than I could bear. I asked, 'God, why haven't you answered that prayer?' And he said, I felt like God whispered back this simple reply, 'With plans no bigger than yours, you don't need my power.'" How many of us have limited God to the point that we say, "God, we need you," but we've never given Him anything to work with? We don't have a plan. You know, it's okay to dream big dreams, because we serve a God who's able to even help you in the big dreams. I'm thankful that God allows us to have big dreams, and you can't outdream God. You can't outdream the God who dreamed up the entire universe. You can't outdream Him, and so dream on. If I'm going to challenge you to pray throughout this week, I'd like for you to know that I've committed myself every week to pray for the church, but as the time has getting closer, as we're in this season, I feel like God is up to something brand new at the Brownstone Church. So I've said, "Lord, I'm not going to just pray. I'm not going to just do my daily devotions. I'm not going to just occasionally talk to you. Lord, I'm becoming more desperate, because I'm seeing that we've got desperate needs in our midst. We have folks that are going through some trials. We've got some folks that are going through some issues, some family things, some health crisis, there's some financial needs, there's lots of situations. Oh, we come to church and we put on our best face, and sometimes you can't tell if the person next to you is having a hard time in their life or not, but there's a lot of things that the enemy comes at all of us with. I've been in church long enough to witness it. As a pastor, I can tell you that I see it on the faces of individuals coming in. We have folks here that need a supernatural touch. I love it when we get testimonies like we got from Alice a few weeks ago, how the Lord has healed her body. She went through a cancer treatments for about a year, and God did amazing things, miraculous things. It's not time to quit praying, though, is it, Alice? It's time to fire it up even more. And all the folks that are here today, they're going through other issues. There's still moments in our life when we need to pray. Some of the decisions that you need to make this very week, you need God's wisdom on. Some decisions I need to make this week, I need God's wisdom on. We're not going to be in this building forever. We're going to change locations at some point, and we need direction. We need wisdom. We need God to give us that direction and say, "This is the way, walk in it. Walk this way," and God will do it. All we've got to do is present it to Him. Now, it may surprise you, but God never required us to fast in the Old Testament. or the New Testament. There wasn't a requiring of fasting. Jesus said, when you fast, do it this way. And he talked to the Pharisees because the Pharisees had begun, fasting was part of the Jewish culture. And to the point they had kind of turned it into a law, but it wasn't ever God's law. So sometimes we take fasting and we think, well, this is how you get God to answer you. Let me tell you what fasting is not. Fasting doesn't make God love you more. He already loves you enough. Fasting isn't a get-rich scheme. Fast a day, get a raise. Fast a week, get a boat. I mean, it's not like that. If we did, we'd all go hungry and drive Mercedes. I mean, I don't know. But that's not how it works. That's not how you do it. It's not a get-rich scheme. Fasting doesn't pay for your sins. Jesus did that. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that you can eat and still go to heaven? Hallelujah. Fasting doesn't pay penance. Some people think, well, I was real bad, and so I need to make, I got to pay for my sins, so I'm not going to eat for a while. that's not God. That's not what fasting is about. That's not it. Fasting without praying is simply going hungry. Praying without fasting is powerful, as we've seen, but praying and fasting will take us to a place that we can't easily get with just our prayers. Now, what fasting is a desperate act. I've said it before. We fast because we want to hear God speak to us. You see, when Jesus went into the wilderness to get direction from his Father and to hear his voice, he went there to hear his voice loud and clear. He didn't go there just to fast. He went there with a purpose of denying his body and hearing God's voice. It wasn't the lack of food that allowed him to hear his Father speak. It was his humility and his determination. And he denied himself his own desires for the will of his Father to be made known. Let me tell you this, food isn't the only thing you can fast. You can fast other things in your life that come between you and hearing the voice of God. Now, I love hobbies, I love sports, I love television, I love social media, I love all kinds of things like that, shopping, all those things are great, but any one of those things can become a problem if it becomes so important in your life that you focus all of your energy on that one thing and you never have time for God. If the only time you think about God is at 10:45 or 10:30 on Sunday morning, then you're missing out on the importance of God in your life. God wants to speak to you on Monday morning, Thursday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Wednesday, Friday. He wants to speak to you on Saturday. God wants to speak to you, and he will speak to you whenever and wherever you will listen. What fasting allows you to do is it just allows you to say, God, I'm going to put aside my own desires for a while. I'm not going to allow these things to take precedence over hearing your voice. I'm desperate enough today, God, that I want to come to you. And I'm going to give you my time today. I'm going to give you my desires are going to be set aside. Scripture tells us that we're said to take up our cross daily, deny ourselves. That goes right along with this. Sometimes you just need to be desperate enough. And maybe the question I have for you today is, how desperate are you? What are the needs in your life? We have some health issues today that we're praying over, some of you. We have someone with cancer in their body today that's here, and we're praying with Geraldine, and I'm believing that God will heal her. I want you to be desperate enough to pray for her as well, and I want you to bow your head right now. Lord, I'm so grateful that you hear us when we pray. Lord, you always look at the inside of our heart. You always look at the intent of our heart. It's not just our actions, Father, but it's the reasons behind our actions. Today we come to you and we believe that you are still in love with us, that you're still healing us, you're still moving heaven and earth on our account. And I thank you, Father, for just like the people in Antioch who heard from you, and Holy Spirit, I thank you that you spoke to those men and you guided them, that you are still guiding us. You are still speaking to us. You are still leading us. You are still anointing us. You are still using us. And today, Father, I speak to the men and women of the Brownstone Church. I pray, Father, that this week they would find themselves so desperate to hear your voice that they would do whatever it takes. Lord, if it's setting aside the time that they would normally spend in front of the television, if it's setting aside the time they would normally be on social media, Lord, if it's setting aside the time that they would be doing something else that they love to do, something that's not bad, but something, Father, that just consumes their time, whatever it is, let us take you serious enough that we know your plans for us because we have spent time with you. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that your word of knowledge would come to each one of us in those moments that we have, in those situations in our life that we can't figure out on our own. I pray today that you would do the supernatural thing. I pray, Father, that you would do the thing that only you can do. That you would heal your people, that you would speak to your people, that you would lead your people, that you would move on account of your people, that you would bless your people. Give you praise for it. I want to do something right now. I want to ask our prayer teams to come forward. Some of you are here today and you've had some situations that you need somebody to pray with you about. Some of our family situations, some of our health situations. It could be anything. I believe in these men and women right here because I pray with them on Sundays. I've seen their prayer life throughout the week. I know what their commitment to the Lord is. So I'm going to ask you, if you need prayer for anything right now, I'd like you to come down. Let them pray with you. We'll sing a little bit. We'll worship. And I believe the Holy Spirit will move on your behalf today. Hallelujah.
I want us to pray in agreement this morning as we close the service. For God's next step, would you just say, Lord, give us clear direction. Give us clear direction. I appreciate what Pastor Steve shared this morning. Said, you know, we're blessed. We're good. But God's got something more. Where do we go from here, Lord, as a body of believers? What's our role? Where, location-wise, give clear direction. Will you agree with me this morning? Father, here we are. We thank you. We love you. We're the body of Christ. We are part of the great family of God. We sense, Lord, our mission in this world. We recognize that we are salt and we are light. And the salt is not to remain hidden in the shaker, but it's to be mixed with the needs of this world. And the light needs to come and dispel the darkness. And so, Father, we're asking for clarity, for direction, for wisdom, for your glory and for your honor and for the advancement of your church. And we stand in agreement with that today, Lord. We believe for that direction. We believe for clarity. We believe for your blessing and provision. And we thank you for it. And we agree together today by saying amen. And amen. And God bless you.